Blog Talk Radio.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I see to do is hurt me.
Yes, sir.
Hurt me.
I know we should be finishing, but think it for me two more times.
Yeah.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know what's happening this morning. I was going to have Pastor Hinton to pray the prayer of faith for us. And, excuse me, but something is going on. But anyway, we know that God is faithful. He's on our side today in spite of us, and he's looking beyond fault and yet meeting our needs. And I tell you, I was talking to the Lord about some things concerning the work that he sent me to do. And so I was a little bit concerned, you know, if I was doing the work right, you know, but it come to me, you just do the work. The rest is up to me. You work. You do what I said. And the rest is up to me. Yeah. Because being that you're doing the work for unto me, it's my work. It's what I want. It's not necessarily what you want. Now, you can say it's what you want, but it's not necessarily that. And so I had to let it go and trust. Yeah, let go and trust God. Because sometimes we'll get in his business without knowing that we in his business. Yeah, I'm guilty. Hallelujah. Praying, Lord, don't let me be in your business. Have your way, not my way. Your will be done, not mine. And so I'm thankful unto him that we can go to him. And he knows the very intent of our heart. He knows what we're thinking. You know, even in prayer for different things, Lord, don't let me judge nobody. God, let me love, and let me love right the way that you would. Let me look beyond their fault and yet see their need. Lord, you help me. Yeah. And so that's the way, you know, I'm supposed to be, because I can't be any other way and please him. Yeah. See, those of us that come to him, we must believe. And believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I'm seeking him, and I just got to believe that he's going to reward my seeking with an answer. And he does, over and over and over again. And so we are grateful unto him this morning. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Yeah, he's almighty God that have all the power. And today we have Dr. Charles Booth, and his message is, don't bother me, I'm having church. Don't bother me, I'm having church. And what I learned is we're churching daily. We should have church every day because we are the living church. We are the walking church. We're that live church. See, what we call church, the building, is the place of praise and worship. It's the place where it's like the service station. In other words, filling station is what we called it back in the day. When you're running out of fuel, it's a place where you go and get more fuel, and you can go a little bit longer. You can go further. Yeah. So we are the living church, the walking church. And wherever we go, we spread the good news of Jesus. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. People know who we are by our, you know, characteristics, the way we carry ourselves, the things that we say in conversation. Because when they see a lot of people, you don't cuss a lot. Then they say, oh, they church people. They from the church. You know, they go to church. Yeah, they say all this kind of thing. And see, we are led by the Spirit of God. And if we allow God to lead us, he's going to guide us in the right path. And we will be all right today. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to try and see if I can get Pastor Hinton's prayer. Again, I like to pray. I like to play this. And it says that it's playing. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's for me to pray this morning and not Pastor Hinton. Hallelujah. But we're going to one more song of the morning. Let me see if this will play, because it's acting up a little bit for some reason.
Let's see. Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth.
Awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The King, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, Mr. Fred Hammond. Oh, I just love all of that Fred Hammond old stuff. Yes, yes, yes. I can listen to it for hours and hours. And I never forget a friend of mine, her name was Anita. And Anita and I worked together. And I had never heard of Commission or Fred Hammond. And she said, Bobby, you ever heard this? And she played a few of his songs. And I fell in love right then and there with Fred Hammond and that music. And Jesus is all, I just went on and on with that one. I just loved it so much. So I think this morning is for me to pray the prayer of faith and not Pastor Hinton, because everything else worked but that one. So we're going to pray the prayer of faith this morning, because it's that prayer of faith that makes us whole. And when we come back, we're coming back with Dr. Charles Booth this morning and his message of Don't Bother Me, I'm Having Church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, another Tuesday morning. Father, we thank you for watching over us last night as we slumbered and slept. We thank you for waking us up this morning, closed in our right mind, a mind to remember you, a mind to remember that you are Almighty God who have all power, a mind to remember that we need you, and without you, we can do nothing. And Father, to get our day started, we give you the first fruit of our day. We speak to you before we speak to anyone else. And we thank you this morning. We thank you that you grant us that opportunity, that we can come to you first. Because when we come to you first, you lead and guide. Oh, we thank you this morning. And Father, after praying, after talking and communing and fellowshipping with you, if we'll just stay right there and begin to praise you, you're going to speak so that we'll get direction. And we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That not only we can speak to you, but you speak back to us. We're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. Father, we love you. For it was you who first loved us. Without your love, we wouldn't know what love is. And we thank you that you're kind and merciful and most of all a loving God. You so loved us, Father. You sent your only begotten Son to suffer, to die, to conquer all and rise with all power. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise. And Father, we come today asking that you would bless every household represented here, those that are coming through the archives and the podcasts. Father, you know what each household, all of us stand in the need of. And you know what our heart's desires are. You know what we really want in this life. And Father, we know not only you supply need, but you are our shepherd. And Father, you won't cause us to want if it will work together for our good. Because you won't withhold no good thing from us. We thank you this morning, Father, that you're doing it for us right now. You're working it out for our good. Father, you're bill paying this morning. You're lifting our burdens this morning. You're blessing our families this morning. Those that are going to work are at work. You're blessing them today on the job. And we're grateful unto you. You're situating our households. Lord, we thank you today. Those of us that haven't kept our minds on you, Lord, you're working on that for us today so that we can remain in perfect peace. We thank you this morning. Can't help but give you glory, honor, and praise. But Father, there's none like you. We come this morning asking, Lord, that your word today, that it won't fall on bad ground. The weeds won't come up and choke it out of your people. But that every word of yours will fall on good ground this morning, and folk will forget about their flesh and begin to walk in you. They will begin to seek you spiritually because you're a spiritual God. And Father, again, they will forget about themselves and what they're thinking and what they think it should be and what folk have taught them. But Lord, they will hear you speaking to them this morning through Dr. Booth's mouth. that, God, they can obey your word a little bit longer. Fill us up today. We come to the filling station looking for a filling from you. And we ask that you would fill us up today with your word. And as we go out, we will share it with others. We won't be selfish and be church folks. But God, we'll be your church, the church of Christ, spreading the good news of you everywhere that there's an opportunity. And Father, help us not to sit back and not say nothing on your behalf, because you've been good to many of us. You worked it out for our good over and over again. And we want to acknowledge it this morning, and we want to acknowledge you, Father, that you're our all. Without you, we wouldn't be here. Without you, we never could have made it. And Father, you keep on blessing us over and over. You work miracles in our lives. And Lord, many times you do great things for us, but because it's not what we think we desire, we hold back on the praise. We hold back on the thank you. We accept it as if it's due to us. But Father, all that's due unto us is death, because even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Help us this morning. Help us to praise you. Help us to acknowledge you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to become your people, because you are our God. You made us for your pleasure, Father. And let us please you back. And let us do what's acceptable unto you. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, don't let us get caught up into our flesh. But Lord, let us get caught up into your spirit and accept your word. Lord, it don't matter who wrote it. It don't matter when it was written. But God, it was written for our learning. Hallelujah, for us to obey you, and help us this morning to do just that and forget about ourselves, concentrate on you and obey you today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask this morning that you would give us all a personal Bible study life and a personal prayer life, that God, we stay in fellowship with you and we know what your word says so we can obey it. And Lord, we don't need nobody but you. And if we need somebody, God, it's you that was sent us. Help us not to look and seek and choose, but God, help us to wait on you. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Help us today, God, to wait on you so we can become stronger in you, stronger in your word, stronger in patience, stronger in knowing you. Hallelujah, this morning, oh God. Help us today, Father. We need you. Without you, we can't do it. There's a way that seems right to a man, Father, but the end thereof is destruction. Help us today to know that we're right in you. Help us to make our calling and election sure with you. And help us, Lord, not to be Bible thumpers. Help us not to be those that always quoting the Bible, but really living nothing. We always checking people and going behind, but God, we're not living it. Help us today to live your word. Help us to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable unto you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning, Father, that you're praying, not me, you're praying. Hallelujah, for your people. I'm grateful unto you that I'm your vessel. Hallelujah, hey God. I thank you this morning that you saved me, sanctified me. Fill me with your spirit. I thank you this morning that I can be a blessing unto others, that you can use me in your service to be a blessing unto your people anywhere, any place, at any time. Father, thank you for answering prayers. Again, thank you for being on our side. Thank you for being for us today. For your word said, if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. And we thank you this morning. We come today asking, Father, that you would bless those, touch and heal those that are sick here. Lord, I ask today that, God, you would move in a mighty way in healing. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And we believe there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. And as we press in this morning, oh God, into praise and worship, Lord, even in hearing your word, we say amen, and we accept it and make a conscious decision to obey. We ask that you would heal. We know that you heal all manner of sickness and disease. because, Father, you have all power. There's no higher power. Heal this morning in the name of Jesus. Every manner of sickness and disease, diabetes, oh God, high blood pressure, kidneys, whatever the case may be, whatever's causing this, Lord, if it's our eating, heal. Heal our minds that we eat properly. We eat the correct things. We eat what's healthy. We eat what your word says we are to eat in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit today. Heal our hearts and heal our minds. Lord, regulate our minds. Let this mind be in us today that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Heal, Father. We ask this morning that you would do it again in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated. Bless their families. For Lord, most people that are locked up, their families are locked up with them. They're hurt over it. Then you have those that family, they can no longer care, God, because they feel like the person knew better. But Lord, you know what's best. Many times you put them away to save them, to save the family from the grief of death. Move by your spirit today in the name of Jesus for those that are incarcerated and their families. Bless those that are in every branch of the military. Strengthen their wives, God. Strengthen their husbands. Lord, strengthen their children. Bless today. They went to do what we couldn't do. They went to do what I don't want to do and many of us don't want to do. Father, help this morning. Every branch of the military, strengthen them, God. Strengthen our leadership, the administration of our military in the name of Jesus. Help right now this morning. Lord, let it not be in vain, but God, let them be led by you in whatever they go to do. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and bless fatherless children this morning. And bless intercessory prayer people everywhere praying for others in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, we ask this morning that you would continue to send your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield, and protect Israel and Jerusalem from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Bless Dr. Booth's family this morning. Father, you know what they stand in need of. Bless those that were church members with him. Those that was members of the body of Christ that you had him pastoring over. Move by your spirit for them this day in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless our brothers and sisters overseas. Lord, many stand in the need of you. They stand in the need for their children, their ministries. And Lord, many are hiding because they're afraid to come out because they can't just spread the gospel like we are allowed here. Open doors and make ways for them. Those that are hiding, those that have to hide their Bibles and sneak Bibles in, God, move by your spirit and continue to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Loose your protecting angels. Loose your fighting angels to go and fight for them in the name of Jesus. Supply need this morning unto them, O God, according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We thank you this morning. Father, we ask today that you would continue to bless America. And Father, have mercy on the leadership. We ask this morning that you would move for the leadership and remind them that you're almighty God that have all power. And without you, they can do nothing. Father, remind them there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Remind them that you're the way, the truth, and the life. And if they come unto you, you will in no wise cast them out, and you will lead and guide them in the right path for your name's sake. Again, this morning, bless every American, O God. Move by your spirit for us. We stand in the need of you. Without you, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning today. Have your way here. Father, feed us until we want no more. Oh, give us the bread of heaven this morning. And Lord, let us eat the full course meal and not throw the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients out, and try and keep the bones and eat what's not healthy. But God, help us to eat the full healthy meal that you prepared for us in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you today, Father. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough. Father, each of us had 10,000 tongues, and we begin to praise you with everyone. It wouldn't be enough, for you're more than worthy. Father, and those that are standing in the need of you right now, they have situations, Lord, hearts heavy, kind of don't know which way to turn, but they're simply waiting, God. Lord, strengthen them the more to wait on you, for you have the perfect timing. Remind them to cast their cares upon you, for you care for them. Remind them to come unto you, all that are burdened and heavy laden, and you'll give rest today in the name of Jesus. And Father, this belongs to you this morning. Have your way here. Lord, let me decrease. Let me move so that you can fully be in charge today in the name of Jesus. Fix our hearts this morning. Regulate our minds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you for hearing. And Father, we thank you for answering. Again, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah unto you. Hallelujah unto you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for carrying our petition to the Father this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. Can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. There's none like him. None like him. I wanted to go over this morning. We're going to bring Dr. Booth in, but I wanted to go over and take a look again at the book of John, because I'm understanding there are some discrepancies and some not so clear and some debates concerning who wrote the book of the Gospel of John. And matter of fact, yesterday I was asked the question, who wrote that book? And I said, you know, let me look right quick at my notes. So I looked in there, and it looked like the Apostle John wrote it. And I went back, and I later on, and I started thinking on the scripture, and I could see myself, you know, sitting over in the grass watching John come out preparing to baptize Jesus. And I said, well, Lord, it for me, it don't make a difference who wrote it. I just want to obey the book. And I was at the kitchen sink, and he let me know it's important. Woo! It's important to know who wrote it. Yeah. And for some people, it's a part of their learning to know who wrote this, to have proof, because many times we have to share with others, and we have to be able to provide proof of what we're talking about. Yeah. Especially when you run into a non-believer, or you run into an atheist, or somebody that's of another religion, and they ask you questions. That's why he said to study, to show thyself approval. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there's something to all of this. So I'm on a study here of the Gospel of John, and I got me a six-week curriculum, you could say, and it was created as part of the Convocation Series by the Spiritual Life Program Office and written by Rachel Collins. So I'm going to check Rachel out real good, and I'm going to get in here and get with the scriptures and let's see what Rachel is talking about, what she's explaining. And of course, I gotta know what God is explaining. Yeah, he's got to give me the wisdom and the knowledge, understanding of everything so that I can present it correctly. Because that's why he said to study. You know, when you study, you're going to learn some things that they teach at the university, facts. Bring the facts out. Now, sometimes they're not quite understanding themselves because some things you can't prove. Yeah, I don't care how much words is in you, some things you can't prove because it was done by Almighty God, and he's not, our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. But when we know him, as Jerry often says this, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So when you know God, you just know him, and when you know the way he moves, and you know that he's moving, you go with that. But many times he blessed us to understand and have knowledge of his word, and he will show, teach us, give us wisdom, and wisdom show us when, how, and why, and where even. Yeah. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. And that's what the university teach, you know, when, where, how, why, that kind of thing. And so we're thankful this morning. So we're going to be coming back with John, because John, that first chapter, to me, that's the Gospel of John. That's really, really a great chapter. And if we get in there, you know, it's going to help us to walk up right before Almighty God the more, because the more we please him, the more he will bless us, the more he work miracles in our lives, the more he turn things around, because we're his and we're related to his offspring, his begotten son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we're thankful unto Almighty God this morning. I know we're going in with Dr. Booth, but I was trying to do a little timing here, so I time it just right, and we don't have to leave so early, but that I will complete it. And this morning, I promise you, I tried to get Pastor Hinton to pray. It wasn't for him. It was for me. And so I had to obey this morning. I tried several things now, but God was not hearing it. And listen, do you mind if we go to one more of the morning? I have a request. I have a request. And I've been trying to get to it, and I often forget it. But I saw it, and I got to do it, if you don't mind. This one song, and after this song, I'm not saying anything. We're coming right in with Dr. Booth, because we want to hear that word, and that's what many come for, the word of God. Yeah, because we know everything is going down, but his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is by the Christianaires, and the name of that is Angels Will Be Waiting. And that's a song with that 50s sound, you know, the late 50s sound right there. And Angels Will Be Waiting at the Gate, I Know, again by the Christianaires. I was supposed to have been played it, but I got to it today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So listen, we're going in with Dr. Booth this morning. And again, his message is, don't bother me. I'm having church. Hallelujah.
Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. The earlier witness and watch, we addressed the first 8 verses of this 8th chapter of Acts. And this morning I want to continue in this theme. I want to begin reading at the 12th verse. And I read this morning from the New International Version. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Come down to verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had need. You may be seated. Don't bother me. I'm having church. I shared this morning with those in the earlier worship of a wonderful experience that I had in watching the movie Ray. I do not know about you, but whenever I am blessed to see a movie that I consider to be an epic or that which will eventually become a classic. I have the tendency to watch it over and over again. And perhaps I shall receive criticism when I make this statement, but I feel that most of the movies that are being produced today have very little content at all, and it would seem to me that so many of them are being made simply to make dollars. However, every now and then, God allows us to look at a cinematic production that gives us a sense of incentive and encouragement for the living of our own experience. I think that most of you, if not all, will agree with me that Jamie Foxx did an outstanding job in his portrayal of the life of Ray Charles. There was a scene in that movie that gripped me, and I did not really see the significance of a particular scene until I had watched it maybe about the ninth time. There is a scene in which Ray Charles leaves the little group that he has been a part of, and he decides with the help of God to make it on his own. He arrives in Harlem in 1952 with little money in his pocket, with an apartment that he calls home. And on a particular Sunday morning, he is seated on his bed with a record playing. I was touched by this because it was an old 78 record. And the young people in this congregation know absolutely nothing of what I speak. Because ours is no longer a day of cassettes, but ours is a day of compact disc and DVDs. But this was long before 45s. Much longer before even 8-tracks. There he was listening to an old 78 recording of some gospel group singing. And there he was seated on the side of his bed reading the scriptures through Braille. When all of a sudden there is a knock at the door. He hollers so that he can be heard above what is the music playing. And he asks, "Who is it?" And he is told by the voice on the other side of the door that he is a representative of Atlantic Records, the first of only two labels that he would sign with for the duration of what is his tremendous musical career. When the man identifies himself, Mr. Charles says through Jamie Foxx, "Don't bother me. I'm having church." That particular phrase stuck in my mind because it was significant to me that he did not say, "I am in worship," which is the word most of us use in this day and time, but rather he said, "I am having church." If one is having church, then church is more than the body to which I belong. It is more than the ecclesia. It is more than the separated body of believers. To have church suggests that there are certain ingredients that must be present in order for the Spirit of the Lord to prevail and to move in a mighty way. When we talk about having worship, we're talking about praising God, honoring God, lifting God with our humility and our obeisance for what he has done, but more importantly, for who he is. But what we must understand about worship is that every worship experience has its conclusion. Worship comes to an end. In about another hour or so, depending upon how long I preach, worship as we know it for the day will reach its consummation. But when we have church, we are not simply talking about praising, honoring, lifting, and reverencing God, but we are talking about beyond praise, there must be the employment of what God has taught us so that worship or what we know as having church goes beyond the experience and it becomes for us lifestyle. Now, you are not here for me to explore an idea. And for me simply to make this line of demarcation between worship and church may be in the minds of many a suggestion that I am fostering a particular opinion. But when you read the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the most abused, the most misused, the most misinterpreted chapter in all of the Bible, you discover what it really means to have church. Right. Notice that Jesus gives his disciples a directive. And the directive is that they are to congregate in the place, a nameless upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. It is nameless to us, but it was known to them. Known because that was the place where they had gathered for the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the wine, or what you and I would call the Last Supper or the Holy Communion. But they have been asked to designate themselves to be present in that room, not for the commemoration of the Lord's broken body and shed blood, but they are to await the coming of the Paraclete, the Hagios Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does not come unless certain preparations are made. And I think that this represents the deficiency of so many people who come to the house of God. Most of us come, that's not fair. Many of us come, but we come having made no preparation. Do you recall, as I do, having grown up in a home where you prepared for Sunday morning on Saturday? I came out of a house where we got ready on Saturday for Sunday morning. Mama began cooking Sunday dinner on Saturday. My shoes were shined on Saturday. Mama laid out my suit and clean underwear and a crisp, clean white shirt on Saturday. My shoes were shined on Saturday, and together, mother, daughter, and son, we studied the Sunday school lesson together on Saturday so that when we appeared for Sunday school, we did not appear ignorant. We did not wait for the choir to prep us for the worship experience. It did not matter to us whether or not the pastor was preaching because we were primed or we were prepped for whatever it was that God was about to reveal. So that in the text, they are in one place at the same time, and they suspend their agenda because what is uppermost in their minds is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now Luke says there was first of all the sound of a rushing mighty wind. In other words, there was something that lifted them up out of their seats that allowed them to know that God was speaking to them in ways that were not normative. There were tongues that settled upon each of them, and they were tongues of fire. And we discovered this morning that not only does God suspend your agenda, but God will also allow you the power of his presence in turbulent times. And not only is there the power of his presence in turbulent times, but when you are having church, you all speak one language. If there is one legitimate claim that can be leveled against the church today, it is the claim that we are not unified, that we are not one body in Christ. And when we leave at the end of this experience, if authentic church has taken place, then we ought to leave speaking the same language. Now, the reason why I say that this is the most abused and misused and misinterpreted chapter in all of the Bible is because never has anything so disrupted the body of Christ than this business of tongue speaking. In the book of Acts, this second chapter, the tongues mentioned on the day of Pentecost are not unknown tongues. This is not the prayer language.
Right.
This is simply language in the context of everybody understanding what the apostles and particularly Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. What good is proclamation if there is not comprehension? In other words, what good is my preaching? And I heard Minister Fitzgerald praying this before I came into the upper room this morning. Let the pastor preach so that even a child might be able to understand. What good is proclamation? What good is teaching? For that matter, what good is your testimony if you are not willing to speak in language that even a child can understand? And we ought to be speaking one language this morning. And if you don't know anything else, you ought to agree with me that the Lord is good. That His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. What I'm calling for today is for a Pentecostal understanding, an apostolic comprehension of what it means to have church. I think that many of us run out of gas when we get through with worship. Most of us only have the Spirit for as long as we get to the parking lot. And God knows it's semi-gone when we get home, and by Monday morning when we've got to go back to enemy territory. Help me, somebody. Not only has the Spirit dissipated, but it has almost disappeared. So I need something that is more than worship. I need to have church. My mother and those of her generation never said we had worship today. They always said we had church. And I told the earlier congregation, there are a whole lot of churches in Columbus, Ohio, who have better worship than we do, but nobody beats Mount Olivet having church. They have better choirs, they have a better preacher, they've got better praise teams, but honey, when it comes to having church, you can't beat this house. Ought to have a little bit of help. Because what we get up in here Sunday after Sunday doesn't leave us when we get to the parking lot, but it follows us all the way home, sleeps with us on Sunday night, gets up with us on Monday morning, and walks with us all through the week, so that even on our jobs, we can say, don't bother me, I'm having church. I had to recapitulate that for those of you who are not here at 7:30. Now let me get into part two. When we are authentically having church, not choreographed worship, not superfluous coming together, but when we are authentically having church, the leader is respected. Now notice, when they leave the upper room after being filled with the Holy Spirit and go out of the sanctuary into the street, there is only one voice. It is the voice of Peter. Everybody else is silent. Everybody else is mute because he becomes the spokesperson for that group. God has a leader who must be respected. Now there ought be many in Jerusalem who would not respect Peter. After all, he was an impetuous man whose mouth was always in motion before his mind got into gear. He was the man who denied Jesus in one night on three different occasions. And this ought to be good news for all of us, that in the midst of whatever our character flaws are, God can still use us. Now let me help you. Some of us hold the preacher to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. And you might be rightly entitled to that, but just remember, when you lift the standard, you don't live in a glass house. I have looked around the room. I've qualified it. I've taken inventory, and I don't see one angel.
Now somebody help me. I only have one eye, but maybe there's an archangel. I just don't happen to see him or her. Maybe there's somebody here who is a cherubim, or perhaps there is a six-winged creature around here that we call a seraphim. If you are in the house, would you kindly raise your hand? Well, since there are no angels, and since there are no archangels, no cherubim or seraphim, I can rightly conclude that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But my sin or my flaw does not prevent me from having church. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it. I don't care how much you talk about me. I bear it. I don't care how many times you resurrected in conversation. I bear it no more. And it's the only line in the hymn that goes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Notice that when the tongues settled upon each of the apostles, they are no longer called disciples. Because now, having been under the mentoring of Jesus for 3 years, they are no longer learners. They have gone beyond being followers. And they are now called apostles, meaning that they are now missionaries, they are witnesses, and they are messengers. Tongues denote speech. Speech denotes communication. But notice, these are not just tongues, but tongues of fire. Fires purge. In other words, fires are used to burn out things so that a sense of purity might take place. So that even though Peter is an impetuous creature, even though he has the element of the coward in him, having denied Jesus 3 times in one night, he has been purged, he has been purified, so that now he might speak with a redemptive tongue. Y'all miss that. The next time somebody tries to resurrect your flawed past, or the next time somebody tries to put you in touch with that which God has delivered you from, you remind them that your life has been purged, that I have been purified, that what used to be my flaw is not my flaw anymore. And even if I'm still hanging on and there is a bit of a residual, bit by bit it's being burned up. So that I have a right to open my mouth and I have a right to make bold my testimony, because I have been dealt with in terms of my flaw. Do I have anybody up in here with whom God is dealing even right now when it comes to your flaw? How many of you are not as mean as you used to be? How many of you are not as antagonistic as you used to be? How many of you are not as cheap as you used to be? Not as frustrated as you used to be? Not as insulting as you used to be? Not as envious as you used to be? And you ought to shout right about here, because if nothing else, your testimony ought to be this: I may not be what I ought to be, but at least I'm thanking God that I ain't what I used to be. And that's why I keep coming up in here, because I want somebody to tell me that every round, Kishma, goes higher and higher. Come on, I feel a shout getting ready to come on. Does anybody here feel better this year than you felt in 2004? How many of you are a little bit stronger this week than you were last week? I'm having church because my flaw is being minimized. Yeah. Peter was flawed, but he was the boy, and he was the leader, and the leader's power in proclamation cannot be challenged. One of the most amazing figures, I think, of our era is William Jefferson Clinton. He is a marvel to me, and the reason that he is a marvel is because, given the whole Monica Lewinsky debacle, Bill Clinton should have, at the end of his administration as the 42nd president, he should have ridden off into the political sunset, and we should have never heard from him again. Can you imagine how he must have felt when he was found out to be a liar? I see y'all don't want to be honest. Have you ever been caught in your lie? Come on, let's just be honest this morning. Some of you want to sit up as if you're pious peacocks of righteousness and holiness. But everybody in here, number one, has lied. And as slick as you think you are, at some point God has a way of pulling the covers off. You ain't that slick. God will only let you make a fool out of somebody, but so long. Come on, somebody help me. I said, somebody help me. When Mr. Clinton was discovered as a liar, it shamed him. It embarrassed his wife. It humiliated his only child. And it made our country almost a mockery. Articles of impeachment were brought against him. His enemies on the political right had a heyday and a wonderful day. And even now, they are where he was. Beginning right here with our own governor. Going all the way to Karl Rove in the White House. You better watch who you laugh at. Because what goes around comes around. It may be Bill today, but honey, it's going to be you tomorrow. God will pull off your cover. Now, I know you're slick. I know you think you got it going on. I know you think you covered your tracks, but don't play with God. What amazes me, Annette, is how he, like a phoenix, arose from the ashes. Politically, he should be destroyed. Even from a historical standpoint, he ought to be written off as a colossal failure. That all he's done for 8 years of presidency seemingly should be obliterated because of that one moral failure. But I'm glad that God doesn't leave me in my moral failure. Not only am I glad that God doesn't leave me in my moral failure, but I'm glad that God does not leave me in my ethical taint. Look at him today. Bush, one of his enemies, had to align him with his daddy when the tsunami hit Indonesia. Because when it comes to worldwide clout, William Jefferson Clinton had more clout than Bush's daddy, George H.W. Bush. Come on now. When it came time to rally the Americans together in the aftermath of Katrina and Rita, who did he tap? Once again, he had to tap the man who is his political adversary, the man who defeated his father, and with his father again, it had to be William Jefferson Clinton. Just a few moments ago, when Mr. Clinton wanted to bring the AIDS epidemic to the world stage, he was able not only to rally effective business people in America, but people from around the world came together because Bill Clinton's name was at the head of the roster. You don't want to hear me, but there is life on the other side of your flaw. That somehow if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Don't bother me because I'm having church. Why? Because even if I am a leader, God gives me another chance. Do I have any another chance people up in here this morning? How many of you are just glad that God let you get to the church house despite your moral imperfection? Notice that in Peter, there's no low self-worth. There is even now the disappearance of guilt. Now, how in the world can he do that? How can she do that after what he did? After what she did? Well, let me put my hands on my skinny hips and tell you why. When you are free in Christ, I ought to have an avalanche of praise now. When you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. Because the book says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking unto those things which are before, I press, help me Holy Ghost, towards the mark. My mark is not what I used to be, but my mark is what I'm striving to be. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'm having church. You trying to remind me of what I used to be. Leave me alone. I'm having church. When you are having church, not only must there be respect for the leader, even if the leader is flawed, you must also not allow for debate or argumentation to cloud your spiritual radar screen. There will always be somebody who will mock you, who will offer to you some sarcastic remark, because the intent is to throw you off spiritual balance. It's right here in the text that when Peter stood up as the leader, and when the 11 followed him from the upper room down into the street, those who were the enemies of the apostles began to say, they are drunk on new wine. Peter said, no, it's too early for that. Now, I'm not suggesting that Peter got high later on in the day, but he was saying it is a sociological phenomenon. The liquor store doesn't open till later. And only the hardcore drunks are high first thing in the morning. Takes those of us who drink a little while to get to that. He said, no, it's too early for anybody to be drunk. That is the extent to which he addresses his adversaries. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have time for debate. And you don't have time for argumentation, nor do you have time for sarcastic remarks. And some of us run into serious spiritual trouble because we are wasting the spiritual energy that God gives us when we are having church, answering critics who don't really warrant your time. If all you've got time for is to mock me in what I'm doing, or all you have time for is to offer me some sarcastic remark, then that's your problem. Because once I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, come on, I need some filled folk in here. I am so high in the Lord that I ain't got time for your sarcasm. I don't care how long you sit there and ignore me. I'm having church whether you're having it or not. And whatever you say about me is totally inconsequential and secondary, because if I'm having church, it's just Jesus and me. And if it's just, preach Charles Booth, if it's just Jesus and me, you can talk about me all you want, because Jesus and I got it going on. Do you have it going on with him? Have you thought about how much time you waste arguing with people who are a waste of your time. I don't have to explain anything to you. What gives you the right to talk for God? None of your business. After what you've done and where you've been, how dare you stand? Well, that's your claim, but I ain't got time for that. Because since I've been forgiven, and since I've been in His Spirit, and since there's been the sound of a rushing mighty wind in my soul, and since He's given me a tongue of fire and I've been purged, I can't help but tell somebody what the Lord has done for me, and my testimony overrides your sarcasm.
Yes, sir.
In fact, the more you talk about me, the more loud I become. In fact, the more traps you lay for me, the more stalwart I become. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and what He's done for me, that supersedes anything you might be able to say. I don't have time to debate with you. I don't have time to argue with you on why I am where I am. Because if you knew anything about redemption, if you knew anything about salvation, if you knew anything about conversion, if you knew anything about being born again, there's a phrase you don't hear much about, you wouldn't ask me all these questions. You would only say, if it were not for the goodness of the Lord, I would have been destroyed a long time ago. Jesus taught the disciples that when you are having church, you don't argue and debate with people whose only goal is to get you off stride. Somebody is trying to rob you of your testimony. Somebody wants to keep you quiet because the louder you talk, the more prone somebody else is to hear you. And if somebody hears you say that God did it for you, then there is the opportunity that if I'm sincere, He will also do it for me. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm dangerous. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm hallelujah dangerous. Because I've got a testimony that is not fiction. I've got a testimony that is real. Do I have any real testimonies in here? Does somebody feel like shouting with me? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water He lifted me. Safe. Is anybody safe? In baseball they would do this when you slide in. Is anybody? Are you? Do you feel like shouting because you're? When the smoke clears, are you? When the dust settles, are you? When you woke up, were you? On your feet right now, are you? Safe. But wait a minute, there's a lot of dust. But when the dust settles, I discover that I've crossed the plate and didn't get tagged. Y'all missed it. The devil almost had you tagged. But when the dust clears, I feel like shouting. How many of you almost got tagged, but by the grace of God, when the dust, I said when the dust, now if you safe, how come you letting that Negro disturb you? Now if you safe, why are you letting a little bit of gossip disturb you? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but you little pygmy, your words can't help me. Not when I'm having church. Now notice what happens. Not only do they respect the leader, not only don't they engage in debate and argumentation, but the text says that when Peter got through preaching, 3,000 souls were saved.
That's there.
And then it says that those saved continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now I need you to walk with me. They didn't continue in their thoughts, nor did they continue in their opinions.
All right.
They didn't have any house-to-house Bible studies.
Well.
Where whoever the leader is propagates what they think.
Right.
Come on, I'm in the book.
Yes, sir.
The book says that they sat only at the feet of the apostle.
Yes. Right, Pastor. I see you, Pastor.
And some of us got to understand that you go to these little cell groups. Not the ones we are having, but when you go to these places where people have these in-house Bible studies, what's wrong with your church?
Right.
You got a problem with your apostle? He or she is a messenger or a witness. But because they are filled and they are having church, they need to be kept on course and in focus. So they sit at the apostles' feet for the purpose of getting doctrine. Now I knew it would get quiet right about here. Because some of you have been flirting with other fellowship. And we live now in a community, particularly among black and white, where there are people who no longer want to be a part of a denomination. I would be very careful to unite with anybody of believers that does not have a denominational affiliation. To say that you are non-denominational is to say that you have no doctrinal base with whatever else is wrong with denominationalism. There is something right with it. At least as Baptists, we have a faith foundation. There are certain things that we believe. We are not non-denominational, where everybody can believe whatever they want to believe. That's the problem now. Everybody wants to sit under their own vine and fig tree. I have friends who have taken Baptists out of their church name because they are embarrassed to be so labeled. I'm proud to be a Baptist because I know what Baptists believe. Can I get a witness? We believe that Jesus was prophesied of old. We believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth. We believe that he was born of a virgin, took his flight into Egypt, grew up in Nazareth. We believe that he was baptized in the Jordan. We believe that he had miraculous power, so much so that the blind received their sight, the deaf their hearing, the dumb their speech, the lame their limbs. We believe that he taught as one having authority. We believe that he was marched through unjust courts. We believe that he was put up on a cross on a hill called Calvary. We believe that he suffered, bled, and died, and for 3 days laid in the tomb. But we also believe that while in the tomb, he went down into hell and preached the Emancipation Proclamation sermon to those who were chained in darkness. But early on the third day morning, he got up. I'm talking about what you ought to know and what we ought to believe. On the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. We believe that 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended up into heaven. We believe that 50 days following his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came. We believe that 10 days following his ascension, the Spirit fell and the disciples were empowered and the disciples were ignited. But we also believe that the Holy Spirit is operative today. He comforts us. He keeps us. He brings back to our remembrance what Jesus has commanded to us, and he leads us into all truth. But it does not end there. We also believe that he's coming back again. But before he comes back, he will deliver us from evil. I know what I believe. I have denominational underpinning. That's why some of y'all get sucked in. Not just by Jehovah's Witnesses, but by these people you work with. And some of them are in your family telling you that you ought to go to a anything that does not have a denominational background. You're suspect. Can I teach today? Your problem is you don't know the Bible. And the Bible says that not one of us has a right to private interpretation. Come on, that's written in Peter. That there is a compendium of knowledge that the church has held to across the centuries. And that compendium of knowledge has stood the test of time. My student is here from Trinity Lutheran. When I lectured to them Monday last, I said something about the founder of their own denomination, Martin Luther. Martin Luther was raised in the dogma of Roman Catholicism, that is, the doctrine of the Roman Catholic faith. And among the strong tenets of Roman Catholicism is one, the infallibility of the Pope, which is erroneously based on what Jesus told Peter. From that they have derived what Jesus said when he said, that which you bind on earth shall be bound on earth, and that which you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That does not mean that Peter would be infallible. The second part of their dogma is the intercessory power of Mary. Now, the Bible speaks of the intercessory power of Jesus. Mary ain't sitting on the right hand of the Father. Now, somebody may write, "Oh, Mary, don't you weep, don't you moan." But when I get in trouble, I can't call on Mary. I think Mary's a wonderful lady. I think it's a wonderful thing that she consented to allow her body to be the corridor through which the Son of God might pass. But when I get in a fix, I don't need Mary. I need Mary's baby. Somebody said, Mary had. Does anybody here need the lamb? There's a third thing. The infallibility of the Pope, no. The intercessory power of Mary, no. Also, there is no such thing as purgatory. There's no intermediary stop between here and the judgment. Either you get it together here, because once you die, honey, it's over. You don't have a place where you can go and camp out. I don't care how many Hail Marys somebody says on your behalf. If you were a fool while you were alive, you're going to be a fool when you die. Now let's just put the rubber down on the road. See, a whole lot of folk have people in their families who don't love God, but when they die, they want to drag their bodies up in here. No, we ain't doing that.
Right, right, right.
That makes Reverend Booth a bad fella. But I can't stand over an uncommitted life and declare something that ain't true, and you don't want us to tell their story because that was embarrassing. Somebody say, well, they'll tell yours, right, but I'm under the blood. I believe I just said something. When I die, I don't care what you say about me, because if you listen to the box, I'll be in the box singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing! Y'all not feeling me. Y'all not feeling me. They continue. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So Martin Luther said, well, since this is their denominational bearing, since this is their doctrinal foundation, the infallibility of the Pope, the intercessory power of Mary, and finally, what is the place of purgatory as an intermediary stop? He said, no. But when he read the Apostles' Doctrine, not Bishop so-and-so's doctrine, I don't care who Bishop is. When Martin Luther read what Paul said in Romans, everything came down to this, Kevin. We are justified by faith through Jesus Christ. That ain't got nothing to do with the Pope. Doesn't have anything to do with Mary. Doesn't have a doggone thing to do with purgatory. I am justified by faith through grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. It all hinges on justification by faith. Why are you shouting, I'm justified by faith? Why are you in the body of Christ? I'm justified by faith. By what right do you have to stand up and give God praise? I am justified. That's my doctrine. I'm almost through. I am having church right now, irregardless of what you think of me. Because when you are in doctrine, you enjoy the fellowship. Can I make you a little mad? Somebody said, what's new, Reverend? I have a problem with anybody who can stay home on the Lord's Day and claim that they have just as much church with Bobby Jones or Gilbert Patterson or Paul Morton or Walter Thomas or anybody else. They may do when I can't get out. Or I can have as much church as I choose with a cassette or with a compact disc or with a DVD. If I'm sick and can't go, those are options. But on their best day, it ain't like being up in here. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? How many of you have been sick or you've been in an incapacitated position and you've not been able to get to the church? Ain't nothing like getting there, because I know that when I'm having church, I am getting the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Koinonia, Mother Foster, that I need Marionette to get with the saint. Watch this. Now, everybody in here ain't a saint. And I don't mean anything that pertains to moral or ethical perfection. Saints are nothing more than people who are saved. But everybody ain't saved in here. Which is why we call people disciples as opposed to members. Because real saints not only love the apostles' doctrine, they love fellowship. So that's why I can't allow anybody to throw me off speed when they say, well, everybody in the church ain't right. We know this. But it's not my job to separate wheat from chaff. It ain't my job to separate who is and who ain't. I know that if I am a saint, another saint will gravitate towards me.
Yes. Yes.
I'm about to make somebody shout. So rather than talk about the Negro who doesn't speak to you, you ought to thank God they don't, because they are showing you how much of a saint they ain't. I just said something. Because whether you like me or not, you will speak to me anyhow. Can I go a little further? They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So much so, Annette, that they brought their resources, all of their possessions, and laid them, not at the feet of the deacons or the trustees, they were not even existing then, but at the apostles' feet. Follow me. What made them suspend all of their financial resources for the good of the body? What was it in Peter's flawed proclamation that made them believe him enough, as messed up as he had been with his impetuousness and the element of the coward in him that made him deny the Lord three times? What made him believable? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine as espoused, as propagated, as promulgated, as preached, as proclaimed by Peter. Somebody would say, I ain't listening to him. He's a liar. I'm not going to listen to him because I know his past. I'm not going to listen to her because I know her yesterday. But they not only listened, they came. 3,000 in number, Carl, and laid every title and financial possession at Peter and the other 11's feet. I'm going out on this. Henry Nouwen, a revered Roman Catholic theologian, wrote one of the best books I've ever read in my life. It's entitled The Wounded Healer. And in The Wounded Healer, Nouwen says that what is our passport into the lives of others, or what makes me believable, is my transparency my willingness to share with you my wound. Now, my wound may not necessarily be a character flaw. My wound may be some trouble, some trial, some trauma that necessitates God, because the trial, the trauma, the trouble has broken me. Agnes Thomas lost her husband in what would have been 43 years of marriage had November come and he lived. She's in trauma today. And there's a brokenness, and brokenness always produces fragmentation. And all of us in here are broken to some extent. If we are not broken by a flaw, we are broken by a condition. And one of the reasons that we keep coming back here is because we need God. Yes. To put us back together again. And you listen to a flawed preacher, a broken preacher, Sunday after Sunday, who will expose his transparency because his wound assists you in your healing. So that even though I'm the preacher, I am a wounded healer. I'm sharing with you what I know God can do. I'm not speaking out of a college experience or a seminary education or doctoral studies. I'm telling you, been there. Done that. So that my passport into your brokenness, my passport into your fragmentation, my passport into your flaw is this. If God could do it for him, and I'm gonna trust him. And I'm through right here. Because I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the pain produced by the brokenness. Is anybody in here a witness to what I'm talking about? Don't you get tired of your brokenness? Aren't there moments when you get tired of your pain? Aren't there times when you get tired of your fragmentation? So I've got to join a group of broken people. They're all over the place. My God, they're in the New Direction Ensemble. They're on the music staff. They're in the overflow. They sit on the deacon board. They're deaconesses. They're trustees. They are ushers. They are preachers. Everywhere I look in the body of Christ, I see brokenness. But you don't just see brokenness. You see people who have been put together again by the hand of Almighty God. And you got somebody who's holding their hand and say, I'm a wounded healer. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll see you through. It is no secret what God will do. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you beneath his wing. of love abide. God will take care of you no matter what may be the test. God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast. God will take care of you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace I often forfeit. No, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything. Somebody ought to give them a praise for everything. Whatever it is, everything. That's why you got to watch who you sit next to. You got to tell them, don't bother me, I'm having church. God's about to give me what I need. How many of you feel God will give you what you need? You don't know it, but right now on your pew, in front of you, behind you, on the other side of the church is somebody who can share your testimony. Wounded healers. In this building, right now, is a liar. In this building, right now, is a converted drug addict. In this building, right now, is an adulterer. In this building, right now, is a fornicator. In this building, right now, is a thief. In this building, now, is every conceivable wound you can imagine. But our wounds are our passport into the healing that only God Oh, Dorothy, you hurt because of your son. But he's kept you from losing your mind. In the building is a divorcee. In the building may well be a murderer. In the building is a slickster. But there's plenty of room. Plenty of room. That's why when somebody won't pass you a mint, tell them, don't bother me, I'm having church. What you doing after church? Say, that's your problem, you ain't having it. Don't bother me. Get on that organ, Willie, I'm through. Play softly for me, this.
You give me everything I need.
Oh, yeah.
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 I
Encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't bother me. I'm having church. And I tell you, this has been a few years ago. Could have been well over 5 years. A friend of mine, my oldest son, come back in the 80s, and he said, Mama, he said, he keep bothering me on the job. He won't leave me alone. I go to take the trash out and he's talking to me and he told me he called me and I asked him, call for what? He said he called me to preach the word. I was like, what? At first when he said, he keep bothering me. I'm like, who? Who you talking about? I was going up there to see what was going on, you understand? But he was 14 years old. And being 14, he had an after-school job because that's what I required of my boys when they turn 14, when they get to the ninth grade, you need to be deciding what you want to do with your life by ninth grade. You should, you know, had all the fun you wanted to have and gotten all of that, to get all that out of you so you can become a man, you know, become serious about your life because, you know, you got to do something here. So he told me that, and I took him over to my friend. And back in the day, they called him Crow. And he was a real, real dark-skinned man. And had naturally curly hair. And Crow was one of the baddest preachers. His name was Crawford, James Crawford. That James Crawford was one of the baddest preachers I had ever met. Oh, my goodness. So I had saw him one day. I took my son when he told me about the Lord was telling him, you know, he wanted him to preach his word. I took him over there to Crow and let Crow talk to him. And so Crow said, son, you say the Lord told you this. You believe God was telling you this? He said, yeah. He said, well, all right. He asked him a few questions, and then he looked at me. And he said, all right, Mama, he said, I see you trying to do the right thing, you know, get him to the right preacher, a pastor, you know, so that he can allow God to use him. Because, see, during that time, I wasn't saved, you know what I'm saying? I was attending church with that former godliness and yet denying the power thereof. So I was trying to find a pastor who would train him. Because I thought that's what you did. You do a trial sermon and, you know, how the church stuff goes. So anyway, Crow took him to Pastor Williams, and Pastor Williams had him to come and do a trial sermon. And I'll never forget the sermon. It was called All in the Mustard, Trying to Catch Up. And he talked about those gossiping spirits, my oldest son, Lonnie. And this was at the Baptist church. And so Crow invited, I saw him, this was years, Lonnie was full grown and everything, married, had children. And I saw Crow, hadn't saw Crow in years. And he said, hey, I'm over at Second Baptist over there on 3rd Street. It's in the old neighborhood where I knew about. He said, come over and visit with me on Sunday. Let me introduce you to the pastor. I said, okay. And see, what Crow didn't know I had been to Alabama, you know, God had saved me. He knew the difference about me, but he didn't know, you know, all God had done in me. And so I went over there that Sunday, and he had me to stand up as his guest and everything, and told the people I didn't want them to know. He said, oh, yes, she'll tell you about yourself now. She would tell you about yourself. She is never afraid. I said, ooh, Crow, to these church folks. But I looked at that church, and that church had been there ever since I was a baby. Ever since I could remember, that church had been right there. In Jacksonville, Florida, if you go down Acon Street coming from Beaver Street, you keep straight down Acon. You don't make a right turn on Fairfax. You keep straight on down. You're going to run in this 3rd Street right there. And the church sits like a fork in the road. It's right there. That church, if you're from Jacksonville, you know what I'm talking about. So I went there that Sunday, and I heard him preach and everything. And when I looked at that church, and being in there, I could feel the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Baptist church now. I could feel the Spirit of the Lord. And I said to myself, I said, now these people, they don't change. They don't move around. They stay in one place. And it kind of made me want to go back over there again and, you know, keep going and researching. But the Lord led me on out of there. And it come to me, you're looking at placement. You're looking at how stable they are. And you're stable, but you're not stable in a building or with a certain group of people. Your stability is in me. So the same God that lives in me is the same God that come alive when I go up in the building, what they call the house of prayer. Without me going, having the Spirit of God living in me and allowing the Spirit to have its way when I go up in the building, it would just be a bunch of people sitting around in a building. But we carry him in there with us, and we bring him out with us. Because God is not living in no, it's hot right now, real hot in Florida. So when we, the people, the church is not inside the building, nothing is going on, and God is not in that building just sitting around, waiting for us to come. We have God in us, and because we stir up God in us, we begin to praise and worship him. We begin to meditate on him. His Spirit, the anointing comes in the building. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When we leave that building, we take his Spirit out of that building with us into the world. This is what makes evangelism so great. We are the living, walking church. He gave some history on Martin Luther, and to be honest with you, I didn't know Martin Luther. I don't know the Pope. I'm not Catholic. Who I know is Almighty God that have all the power through his son Jesus. And according to what works for me, glory to his majesty, I'm going to continue to do what I know is working for me. I have church every morning, church service. I am the church. So I'm churching every day. Every opportunity come open for me to minister, that's what I do. Every opportunity come open for me to lead others to him, this is what I do. Every opportunity to come open that I can encourage someone, this is what I'm doing. If we look at the 105th Psalm, it tells us to talk of his wondrous works. Sing songs unto him, talk of his wondrous works, and make known his deeds among the people. And this is what we are doing. I'm not beholden to man because there's a way to seem right to him, but the end thereof is destruction. But I am beholden to Almighty God through his son, Jesus Christ. And I come up in the Apostolic Church, and I come up in the Pentecostal Church. And I even was a member of CME Church and the AME Church, Methodist. Went over and stayed a while with the Church of Christ. Went to the Baptist Church. God was taking me into some places to show me some things because of the labor that he called and chose me for. See, when you are pastor many times, that's what you work on, church, the church building. A lot of times that's mainly where he worked, the hospital, the jail, and the church. And other churches, meaning the building. But when you're not It's much more widespread. I'm the evangelist in Walmart. I'm the evangelist in the Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar General, Penny. Wherever I go, Walmart, wherever I go, I'm the evangelist there. I used to say I pastor, but I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. That's the calling. That's the title that God gave me. Man didn't give this to me. God gave that to me. So I can spread the good news wherever I go. And it's not just up in a building. It's wide open. I spread the good news in Africa, in China, in Pakistan. Wherever he send me, I spread the good news. I've met people and did not understand, well, where they come from, what they want. That's that flesh. And the Lord will speak, stand still. And I just let it go and just stand still. Then it comes about why they come my way. And he allowed me to come their way. There's a work to be done. There's something he's wanting me to do for them so that they can receive him. Not me, not Freedom Doors, not Jesus in the Morning, but receive him. Yeah. And so by our own belief, we're saved. I believe that. I believe that. What I believe about Jesus, I believe he's the mediator. He's the go-between me and God. I believe Jesus is the Son of the true and living God, Jehovah. I believe Jehovah God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. People love gatherings, and they like to feel that they become apart. But when I tell you the same God that when I went over to Wings of Cathedral, a greater faith church, the same God that healed me in that building when I went before the bishop and the bishop prayed for my healing and I passed out. When I woke up, I was looking around. It looked like somebody knocked, but it wasn't. So I was growing. I was growing. The same God that healed me in that building has been the same God that healed me everywhere I went after then, up into this house right here where I am. I wasn't in no building when he healed the left side of my mouth. I was here in this house when he healed it. Hey, glory. When he healed me of digestive problems, I wasn't in no building. I was right here in this house. And you may have often heard me say, if the church burned down on Monday and the pastor died by Thursday, what's going on? Because they have the people believing in the building and the pastor. I have the true and risen Savior in my life. If I never go into a building, as long as I fellowship and worship him and praise him and spread the good news of him, I'm obeying him. Guess what? When he come back, he's looking for me because I'm yet the church. But people like gathering and they like to be a part of. And some people can't trust themselves, so they need a covering. They have to have that. I don't know a pastor, man, or woman. I don't know anybody can cover me more than the blood of Jesus. I don't know anybody who can lead and guide me more than Almighty God through his son Jesus. So I'm not over at Divine Truth and Deliverance Ministries every Sunday. I love it. I love it. I love the pastor. I love the bishop. But I'm not there every Sunday. And let me tell you, I believe I spread the gospel more than some that's there every week, sometimes 2 and 3 times. So don't let people trick you about that building. Don't do that. Hold on to Almighty God. If God is living in you, pray for strength. Pray for direction. Pray for understanding his word. Pray for applying his word that you understand to your everyday life. Be careful, be careful. Because folk want folk to come up to hear them. Folk want folks to come up in there to pay tithes and offering, help them keep their building going, all kind of stuff. I'm just saying, I'm not against the church. I love mine. I love that little white building I go to where the man kicked the carpet over and preached a straight up word from heaven. Woo! But I'm not beholden to that building. And why is that, Barbara? The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. It's more work out in the streets than in that building. I go to the building to fellowship with the saints, to fill up on the word, to get my praise and worship in with the brothers and sisters of Jesus. And then I'm going back out to empty it out whenever I go. Because I fill up in here. Oh, don't let me tell them about all that. Not only do I study his word right here, I pray right here because I have a Bible study and a prayer life. And do ministry right from out of here. Phone ministry, prison ministry, to and from. This is why we got to know it for ourselves. We got to have a real relationship with God for ourselves. And we don't want a relationship up with him because of what we're wanting from him. See, many link up with him, and boy, they're going to walk the walk because they want him to do something for them. But how about when you don't feel your need? Now, are you still the church, having church? Are you still working ministry? Because he called us all to something. Everyone he saved, he called. Or do we sit up in that building and just be like a what they call that thing, some type of group? They call it a clique. And then we treat the people outside the church like they outcasts and they got the plague. They got corona and we can't do it. We see a mother in dire straits before we go to her and say, well, hey, baby, I don't want to get in your business, but if you're willing to tell me what's going on or you think I can help you in some way, just tell me how you think I can help you. No, we won't do that. We'll talk about her. Yeah. She wore that last Sunday, didn't she? Every time I turn around, she got the same dress on. I left the church when I could not get with Jesus in there like I needed to. Yeah. That's when I discovered it wasn't in the building, but it's in him. My friend Clarice, I know she loved the Lord and she loved the church. On Sunday, Wednesday, you gonna stop Clarice from going? Oh, you something is wrong with you. You gonna get your feelings really hurt. Because every time the door came open, Clarice was gonna be there. And she supported everything that she could. And I was struggling with coming out. And when she told me, she said, hey, Bob, I had to come out of there. I went from this one to that one to that one to that one. She said, and I wasn't hearing the Lord, and the Lord didn't tell me. He sent me there. I was so used to it, Bob, until I was going to try to find it and just hoping the Lord would show up while I was looking and tell me this the place for you. She said, but I learned he didn't do that, Bob, so I had to go on. But stay with him. I didn't have to stay in the building, Bob, but I had to stay with God. Mm-hmm. And I clearly understand. Because, see, me, I was looking for that church that was in Birmingham, Alabama. That's what I was looking for. It's Orlando, everywhere I went, Georgia, everywhere I went, I was looking for that church that was in Birmingham. I was looking for Greater Faith Church. That was not another one that I found. I was looking for the same love that was at Greater Faith. I was looking for the pastor to have the same traits in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that Charles C. Woods had. I was looking for the pastor that could tell me when it was time for me to move in a certain way in God. I didn't find that. I continued on. It didn't stop me from going to the buildings now, but the different ones still go. It did not stop any of that. And please don't think I'm against the house of prayer. No, sir, and no, ma'am, because the house of prayer still exists. June the 22nd, 2021, it still does. But you got to find what God called you to. You got to find your place. And if you know God placed you in that building with those, with that body of believers, you stay right there. But make sure you're doing what he called you to do. Make sure you're not just a church goer, a church member, a pew sitter. You know, you all your work is in the church. That's not what he called you to. He called all of us to the vineyard. There's work for us to do. That's why, too, the church was established. It was like a school, a place of learning, so that we can go out. When I look back at the early church, those people were going from house to house, not building to building. They left during that time the buildings up to the synagogue. To the scribes and the Pharisees and all these people that had a doctrine that they followed all the way from Moses. They couldn't get with Jesus. And for those of us that are non-denominational, that's what we got with Jesus. Well, I'm going to speak for me. I got with where his gospel is being taught. I got with where the sick is being healed. I got with where those were dying, didn't die. Yeah, many different things. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say, feel free to share this morning about the church experience. If you believe that what I'm saying is not the right thing and it's a difference and you know this and the Bible says that, feel free to press that number one and come in. Maybe you can help me today. Maybe I'm on the wrong track. Maybe I'm not seeing it clear. Maybe the building is the way. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt for me, Jesus, the Son of the true and living God, is the way, the truth, and the life. And when he saved me, he called me. And he called me to a work unto him. Now the church pew, there may be times in the church there is work for me to do there. I may have to vacuum pews. I may have to shampoo chairs. I may have to clean the bathrooms. But outside of that, because I'm not too good because he gave me the title of evangelist, all that simply means is work. Work. W-O-R-K. You may work in the church as a cleaner. You may work outside helping to pick up trash, edging the yard of the church, cutting the grass, whatever it is. But outside of the building, there's yet work to be done. You have homeless people. You have hungry people. You have children in trouble. You have the elderly people. You have the sick. The list is endless. So if we think it's all about the inside work in the four walls, we got it twisted. Yeah. I just needed to share that this morning. We're going to this one, and when we come back, I'm coming right at you.
You are an angel. Let God have his way. You are an angel.
Yeah.
This is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keith Wonderboy Johnson, let go and let God have his way. And look, God gave us options today. He gave us choices. He's not a stuck-up, mean God. You know, he's starchy and stiff. That's not the way that he is. He gives us choices. We can go to him and pray and ask him about the things we believe that he have us doing. Lord, I believe you placed me in this church. You placed me in this ministry. I believe you called me to the choir. You called me to the deacon board. Yeah, you called me to the usher board. And if you're not sure, pray and ask him. Because it's not a social group that we are attending. We're not over there so that we can have somebody to rely on or somebody know us or we can have a good time as a group. It's much more to it than that. Hallelujah. And we don't want to just be church members. We want to be the people of God, having church wherever we go, because we are the living church. We are the walking church. We are letting our light shine so men can see it and ask us, like they did on the day of Pentecost, what should we do? Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, in other words. So pray about it. Yeah, we don't just have to take people's word. I know many like me and some love me, but don't just take my word. Seek God and ask him to show you in his word and give you understanding of it. Yeah, just don't stand on man's word. I don't care who the man is, me or anybody else. But if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, then you begin to praise God because he did it for you. Hallelujah. And pray that he do it for others so that they can make their calling and election sure. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. But we want God to remember the labor that he called or chose us for. And we want to walk accordingly, obeying God. Hallelujah. Obeying his word. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning. God bless you too, woman of God. How are you?
I am blessed this morning, Jerry. Blessed.
Very blessed. I'm sitting here listening to you. And see, I'm studying the Bible lately because I have a lot of time on my hand. But I was reading in Matthew 18 and 20. It doesn't say church. It says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying you got to be in the church, you got to be in that church, where two or three are gathered in my name. So mm-hmm. if we're all gathered here on this phone in his name, believing him, that's where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Where you may call me and I call you and we on that phone and you request to God for healing and praying, I'm in agreement with you. There God is. But we got to believe that man does not have power over our healing. Only God does. I mean, you struck a nerve with me when you said, I got healed right here in my house. I said, oh, God, why am I keep running here and running there and looking for this, for the bursitis and sciatic in my body? I need to trust and believe. I need to let go of worrying about when is it going to happen and know that in your word says, ask anything in my name. Not some things, anything in my name. And be it done unto you. So I'm not saying I'm not praying right. I'm not saying I'm not living right. What I'm saying is I need to start asking and believing God in his name. With two or three gathered in my midst, be it done unto me. That's all God is saying. He's not saying we got to get to ABC Church. Man, I love Pastor Diamond. Oh, I love him to death. I love his father. I love his son. I love them Diamond guys. So they can preach a word. They can preach. They can make a jump over the pews. I love Bishop Junior. Oh, God, can he preach? He can preach to the ghetto fabulous who was like me. He can preach to the holier than thou. He can speak words that you got to go home and write it down and look it up in the dictionary because you have no idea what he's saying. I love Pastor Jamal Bryan when he says, let us alleviate till this sermon here. Some people don't even know what that means. I know what he's saying, but, you know, I don't need all those big words. I need to hear one thing. God is able to do exceedingly above all that you can ask for. That's all I need to know. I need to know that with God, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard for God. I've seen it for myself. I've seen the refrigerator empty. And mama touching the refrigerator with her hand and say, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. For there's no other help I know. If thou withdraw thy hand from me, well, will I go. And before she got finished with the prayer, somebody's knocking on the door, bringing us boxes and boxes of food. Because when she finished that prayer, she said, Lord, I say this in your name. I'm not believing in calling nobody on the phone. We didn't have cell phones in those days. I'm believing in you, Jesus, in the mighty name. You know my needs. I have 7 children here. Father, deliver us what we need. We didn't just get food. They would bring us clothes, too. It's hard to raise 1 child. I know, God, I struggled. She had 7 of us. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful woman she was. I had time struggling with 1 child. Then God gave me 2 more. I was like, God, I don't want to be like my mama. I can't do this. God said, all things is possible with me. Remember, I take care of you, not that man. I made him as your husband. But I provider. I'm the provider. Don't get it mixed up, Jerry. Don't worship him. Worship me. And I'll make doors open. And when I open doors, no man can close it. And that's what I'm saying. My God is awesome. I don't have to run to the building called ABC Baptist Church or XYZ Episcopal or ABC Catholic. Yes, I know the Catholic faith. God, I know the Catholic faith. I confess to Almighty God, to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in my words and in my thoughts. Yes, I know that. I know the words, and I've tried living those words. But I also found myself back in sin. But when I turn myself over to God and truly mean what I say, God go to working it out. He works it out better than I could ever work it out. The other day, the lady said, Ms. Crowell, the homeowner's insurance is due. Well, I said, well, God, I ain't got no money in the bank. He said, don't worry. Help is on the way. Today, I got an email saying that, Ms. Crowell, your credit limit increased. That's how God does it. I might not have money in the bank yesterday, but the credit limit increased today, so I can do what? Pay my homeowner's insurance. I might have had $2 in the bank yesterday, but today I got $280 in the bank so I can go grocery shopping. Lord, I thank you. God, man can't do me like God. Nobody can do you like Jesus, but you got to trust and believe. He'll turn around a bad situation into a greater situation. I know. Idiot over here divorced the man that was taking great care of her because her friends told her, I'd let him go and I would do this here. But time she divorced him, they was right here in his face, Jesus. But wasn't nothing I could do but grin and bear. But the man showed me, I still love you, Jerry. I messed up. We so quick to judge our husbands, but it's us need to be looked at too. God don't give us mess. If God joined you together and you loved him when you first met him, figure out a way how God can bring that love back and turn that I can't stand him around until I really love him, because it was something about him you loved when you married him. So, God, I say I'm going to let go of the foolishness. Bow down on my knees, as every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that I am Lord. That's what I do. I don't need to run to a building to find God. He's already here. And he's God all by himself. He is the God of grace. He's the God of mercy. And he's the God that will take good care of me. If I don't have any money, I can walk in a car dealership and God will give me the car with no money. Bad credit. I'm not talking about what someone told me. I'm talking about what I experienced. If I have no money, cut my grass. The man will say, I'm going to come early when you sleep. Don't worry about it. I'll come back Friday to get my money. Or he'll say, you know what? You've been so good to me, Miss Cross. Don't even worry about it. I just cut your grass because you are a good woman. Now, who told him I was a good woman? God had to tell him that because he only cut my grass twice. How he know I'm a good woman? So I tell all of us, it's not the building that's going to save you. You're the church. The church is represented in you. Trust God. Believe that he is who he says he is, and there's nothing too impossible for him. I'm not saying it's good, but I was married to a man for 43 years, and he drove drunk every day and never had a DWI. Why? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and is given favor. I'm glad he never had an accident. I'm glad he never killed anybody. But there was stress on me, and I shouldn't have been stressed, and I should have let go and let God. But I was saying, you are drunk, and you should, who am I to tell him what he is? That's God's job. Know your place. If you're a football player, and you the tight end, don't try to get the ball and be the quarterback. That's not your job. If you're a basketball player, don't try to be Steph Curry because your name is ABC. Yes, Steph can throw threes up like, boom, wow. Don't you get the ball and not try to become him because you are who you God made you to be. I am the woman God made me to be to take care of two special needs children. Yes, I was in the world, and I was like, God, why you gave me two special needs children? This is so hard. I don't know what I'm doing. Stop that crying. Sit down. God don't give you what you can't handle. So if you don't have that Mercedes yet, maybe you're not ready for it. If you don't have the big house with the dog called Fluffy, you're not ready for it. You've got to be ready because he won't give you what you can't handle. Yes, he allowed me to get the divorce, but he didn't let me out the house. Why? I wasn't ready to be on my own. You got to remember, I've been with this man since I was 19 years old. What I know about living on my own when this man was a street man? He can handle living on his own more. Be careful what you ask God for. Because once he once you ask him for it and he gives it to you, don't go down the line later on and say, oh, God, I don't want this here. I made a mistake. No, no, no. You made a mistake, so ask God to help you with the mistake you made. Don't run away from what God gives you because you just might be running away from a blessing. I tried to run away from a marriage, but in the end, God kept me here, and what did I do? I got the house. I got both cars. I got the truck. I got the new furniture, all the new appliances. But if I'd have walked out of here, I wouldn't have got none of that. I would have been in an apartment. I would have been living with less. God only want to give you your best. Stand up and receive the best. I often sit back and wonder and say, God, why did my mother stay with my father? Because she took her marriage vows seriously. But God, he was beating her to death and then he killed her. Well, she needed to pray more for him. But either way, Jerry, you need to forgive your father so we can move forward onto your life. But God, he's dead now. Yes, you still got to get rid of unforgiveness in your heart. I don't bless people that walk around unforgiveness. So I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I learned how to forgive even when I'm so devastated by things people do to me. Friend came here, tried to sleep with my husband. Why? You divorced him. But we talked about it. Yeah, but... Oh, you divorced him. You didn't want him no more. You were tired of him. But I had a man that didn't want my friends. He wanted me. Don't get angry when your friends come and take your boyfriend or your husband. You walked away from him talking to them. Talk to God. Don't talk to people. People will lead and guide you in the wrong direction. So I let go of everything that's not of God. I've never smoked. I never drank. I never did drugs. But I like a little wine, but God said you're becoming a wine over there. You get that little ice in that wine like you're drinking Kool-Aid. You're getting drunk. God, am I getting drunk? I'm feeling good. That's because you're high. Oh, I didn't know. See, you're judging Robert because he's getting drunk. Yeah, he's getting drunker than you. Yes, yes. Let go was not of God. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to give up the marijuana. Sometimes it's hard to give up the cocaine. I don't know about that. I just know how to make it. I know how to cut it up with the seeds and the stems. I know how to do that. But God told me to stop it. Stop it, I say, Jerry. Stop being that defiant child. And come on to me, my little one. For I have nothing but goodness for you. He had to put me in a few accidents, and I'm glad I'm sitting down now. I have more time to study and worship the Lord, for he is good. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. That table was a husband that was good to me. My friends were so jealous, they said to me, even after he died, Jerry, you had a good husband. I never seen a man treat a woman like you. And then one of my friends said, that's because you got a Jezebel spirit. Oh, I'm Jezebel? Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yes, I've done adultery. Yes, I've done fornication, but that don't make me Jezebel. My marriage was not because I was Jezebel. My marriage was because my husband loved me from the day he saw me walking across the campus. He parked that car and ran across the street. And ran up to me. He said, my name is Robert Brown. I said, hi. What are you doing? He said, I want to know your name. I mean, you're going to tell me a lie, don't tell me nothing else. But you want to know what? I'm going to marry you. You don't even know my name. You see, God will tell you who's your husband. Because your husband know who you are before you know he's your husband. 43 years. 43 years, and he's even on his dying bed, he said, I can't die in front of you. I love you way too much. He called hospice. They came in and got him at 9 o'clock. At 4:48 that morning, he died. He loved me unto death. Not that I was so good and not that I was so pretty. He loved me because he loved me. On April 1st, he said to me, I'm going to marry you. Standing on the college ground, he cut across the field and pulled up on the sidewalk, and I saw this crazy man. I'm like, wow, he crazy. He ran across the street and ran to me. I'm like, hey. I was the friend of the man. I said, he's crazy. So that same man let me bring two of my nephews in the house, and he said they would be considered my sons, not my nephews, not my adopted children, but these are my sons. That same crazy man said, I don't care if the child you have is mine or not, but he's my son because you are my wife. Not most men could be like Mr. Crowd. I love you unto death, Jerry. That's what he said. And as his breath was leaving his body, call hospice. I got to go, Jerry. No, you ain't got to go. You can stay here. I'm going to sleep on the side of the bed with you. No, 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 no. I got to go now. And then I went to cry, and he said, I can't die in front of you. I'm leaving here. And they came and got him at 9, at 4:48. He was gone. What God has for you, accept it. You can't get it from the building, because you are the church. You can't get it from Barbara. She's just God's vessel. But you can get it from the Lord God. And God says in the word, speak those things that are not as if they were. Faith is work. You don't put no work in, you don't get no work out. My mother used to have this heart, and I've lost it. It was a mustard seed in it. And she said, faith is the size of a mustard seed. You see this mustard seed? Trust God with all your heart. Don't play with him. Don't make him promises you're not going to keep, because he already knows when you're lying. So every day I wake up saying, God, I thank you. I don't start talking to no one on the phone anymore now that I join morning, Jesus in the morning. Because what? I want to give God his special time. I don't want to run to Pastor Junior. Oh, he's good. And he can preach. He can bring me the word. Bishop Jamal Bryan, he can bring the word. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Make you run through the house. But God don't just bring me the word, he shows me the word. So today I just want to say, I put my trust in God, not man. Jesus is the way. Because Jesus loves me. This I know. Because the Bible tells me so. He said, come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He didn't say, get up and call Paul and John and let them whisper in your ear before you put me first beyond everybody else. And that's where I'm at in life right now. A couple of weeks, I'll be 65 years old. It took me all the way till I was 60, in my 50s, to learn who God was. But I'm so glad I found him. So, God, I thank you. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that I know who you are. Man didn't tell me who God was. God showed me a tree, and I had to bust my face open, but I found God. You got to know God for yourself. Nobody else can tell you who God is. So, Lord God, this morning I tell you, thank you, God. Thank you that you hear from me. And I need no one else but you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You there, Barbara?
Amen. Amen, dear. I'm here. I am here. Hallelujah. God is great.
I just wondered if I had that mute button on or everything I was saying. I'm like, oh, Lord, nobody heard.
We heard it all. We heard it all. Yeah, God is faithful.
But God, you know, Baba, God is good. And nobody can do you like Jesus.
Amen.
Man won't even forgive you for some stuff. And boy, some of the stuff I done. God said, you went to the left, and I told you to go to the right, but you're still my child.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody perfect. I don't care if they look at you and judge you. Okay. Jesus said, who among us is not us that is free of sin? Throw the first stone. Well, you might be throwing the stone, but you're sinning right there, too. There's no one perfect but God. So I keep Matthew in my mind, where two or three is gathered. He is truly in the midst. But he didn't say, you got to run into this, that, and the other church. He said, where two or three is gathered. Right now, I think more than two or three of us is gathered here. So I thank you all for being gathered with me so the Lord can truly be in my midst. Barbara,
amen.
I thank you for bringing me on board with Jesus in the morning. I thank everyone for listening to me. I just hope and wish some people would press that number one. If you don't say nothing, but God, you're good. You can't talk, but God, you're good. We recognize Jesus. We reference him. We love him. God is good. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, Jared, when you listen to the radio many times, you can't talk. You can't say nothing.
Yeah, I know. You know. I know.
So it's all right. God moved the way that he moved, and he does what he's going to, you know. And so we just leave everything up to him. I trust him, and I keep going.
Yeah, we do, Barbara. We do, because I serve a mighty good God. I'm going to go ahead and put my phone on mute, so I don't interrupt the other callers listening. But, Bobby, we bought a powerful prayer this morning, and you bought a powerful something to think about. Mm-hmm. Will the building save you, or will God save you?
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Look, we got 6 minutes left, and I'm going to pray us out this morning, and we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning. And I need the intercessors praying for my left knee. That left knee is hurting. So I'm talking about getting some serious weight off of me because of this knee. Yeah, it's hurting even today. And on tomorrow, Thursday, I got to take that food to the children. So y'all keep me in prayer. All right, let's pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's tomorrow? Wednesday? Yeah. So if I'm not here, let me make this announcement. If I'm not here tomorrow, I have an early appointment. And if I don't get out of that appointment in time, that's not what it is tomorrow. I think I have it set. But anyway, if I'm not here, that means I'm at an appointment. If I'm here, you know that the Lord took care of everything. And I'm going to try my best to be back here on Thursday and Friday. But if not, we know that on Monday, we pray God bring us back on Monday. So you can check to see, you know, if there's a show scheduled. And if there's no show scheduled, that means that I'm not going to be here and most likely won't be back until Monday. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. We thank you for making ways out of no ways. We thank you for being on our side. Father, we thank you when we don't know what to do or what we are doing. Lord, you step in and you do for us because you know the very intent of our hearts. And Father, you know our future. As we depart this morning, Father, bless our going out and our coming in. Meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, many times we need the desires in our lives met, and you cover that too. So we thank you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we pray that your word fell on good ground today and that the people will consider you and your word and not me. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, June the 22nd, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day. You came for deliverance, deliverance of